Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus the Lord. Amen. As you know, Epiphany, the word Epiphany means appearing or manifesting. And in the season of Epiphany, we remember, we recall, we reflect on, we rejoice in how Jesus of Nazareth appeared, was made manifest in Israel and to the world. Now, Jesus was made known in various ways and in various times, not just in one way, not just at one time. And during the Epiphany season, we recall some of those. For instance, at the Feast of the Epiphany, we remember that Jesus was made known to wise men in the East and to others as the King of the Jews, because they had seen his star, they had traveled to Jerusalem, they had asked about the one born King of the Jews, and they had found him and worshiped him. On the other hand, on the first Sunday after the Epiphany and on the last Sunday after the Epiphany, we remember, we recall, we rejoice in God making Jesus known as his Son, which he spoke when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, which he spoke when he was transfigured on the mountain. Jesus appeared not only in a certain way, but he appeared doing certain things, and he appeared to certain people. And all of these aspects of Jesus' epiphany, Jesus' appearing, Jesus' manifestation come out in today's reading. Most obviously, what comes out is why Jesus was sent. Why did God send Jesus? He sent Jesus, in the words of the prophet, to take our infirmities and to bear our diseases. That's what he did for the leper. That's what he did for the centurion servant. That's what he did for Peter's mother-in-law. That's what he did for those who had evil spirits and those who were sick. That part is pretty clear. And if you look a little closer, it's also clear what kind of people for whom Jesus was sent. Take the leper. This wasn't just any leper. The lepers were supposed to keep their distance. They were unclean. If someone were to approach them, they were to cover their upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." That's what lepers were supposed to do. That's what the law commanded. But this leper is not like most lepers. This leper doesn't pay much attention to the law. He approaches Jesus. He comes to him. He kneels before him, and he asks Jesus, "Heal me, because you can. If you will, you will cleanse me." And Jesus here, he doesn't pay that much attention to the law either. He reaches out and touches him, and he says, "I will. Be clean." But what happens? The clean is not made unclean. No, the unclean is made clean. And what comes next? A centurion. First, an unclean man, a leper, and now a man of the Roman army. And he comes asking for his servant, who is paralyzed and in agony. He wants Jesus to heal him. So Jesus agrees, "I'll go with you, I'll heal him." But the centurion says, "No, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof, and beside, I'm under authority. I have soldiers under me. If I tell one to go, he goes. If I tell one to come, he comes. If I tell my servant, do this, he does it." And Jesus marveled at his faith. Nowhere in Israel, nowhere among the chosen people of God have I seen faith like this. And then Jesus does as the man believed, and at that moment, that servant was healed. An unclean leper who doesn't pay much attention to the law, a Roman centurion and his servant, then there's Peter's mother-in-law. And they're all who had were possessed by demons, and many who were sick, and they were all cleansed. They were all healed. They all received wholeness. And we see just how far the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God through Jesus Christ is being made known. And then finally, we learn something about who Jesus is, about his identity. Before Jesus was casting out demons and healing the sick, Before Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River and receiving the Holy Spirit, before Jesus was worshiped by the wise men, before Jesus was even born, an angel appeared to Joseph and told him to give the child the name of Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And what does it mean to save people from their sins? It means, it turns out, more than taking care of the guilt and the punishment for sins. It means, as we learn here, taking care of sin and all of its effects. Infirmities and diseases, blindness and deafness, evil and unclean spirits, and even death itself. And so we know something about Jesus' identity as Jesus, as Savior. And we also know something about Jesus' identity as Lord, the reach of his authority. The leper comes to him, not paying much attention to the law. Jesus reaches out and touches him, not paying much attention to the law. But what happens? The unclean is made clean, and Jesus shows his authority. A Roman centurion comes looking for something, and Jesus' authority extends even to the Roman centurion and his household. Even the invisible, the demons, they have to concede, they have to acknowledge Jesus' authority. As Jesus would say later, after he is raised from the dead, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And it shows even here. So, Jesus is being made known as one who comes to heal and to cleanse. Jesus is being made known as one who will heal and cleanse all kinds of people. Jesus is coming, being made known as one who has authority over all. So what does this mean for you? Well, in the first case, it means that you too, you who have believed the word, you who have repented and are baptized, you who confess that Jesus is the Son of God and the Lord, all of you too will have a share in his salvation. Taking it out of context, what Paul said in Galatians fits here. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, between the slave and the free, the male and the female. Or as he would say in Romans, there's no difference, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and bestows his gifts on all who call upon him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that everyone includes you. But the nature of this is largely and ultimately in the future. I know that sounds hopelessly abstract. So in a few minutes, we'll have a rite of blessing for something God has done and is doing. Sometimes our attention is drawn to what God has done or is doing for us now. So we rejoice in what God has given to us, not just food and drink, not just clothing and shoes, not just house and home, but family and friends. We rejoice also in the things that he gives us where we are, like this community, like this campus. We will thank God and ask his blessing for the new renovations, the Bennett Seminary Center and other things in just a few minutes. And we will acknowledge not only how good God's people have been, but also how good God is in working through them and for us. Sometimes we remember what God has done and is doing. And sometimes when it comes to sickness, of course, and you know this personally, we ask for God to do something now. That is why we pray. Week after week in this chapel, week after week in churches around the country and around the world, week after week at bedsides, at hospital beds, people are praying for God to do something now. But if you take a wider look at sickness, if you take a wider look at infirmity and diseases, it's easy to see that much of what God will do in Jesus will happen later. It's in the future. For instance, take leprosy, since we have a leper here. I wanted to know how things stand with leprosy, and so I came across this from the National Institutes of Health. Leprosy was well recognized, it says, in the oldest civilizations of China, Egypt, and India. The first known written reference to leprosy appeared in an Egyptian papyrus document written about 1550 BC. Throughout history, leprosy has been feared and misunderstood and has resulted in significant stigma and isolation of those who are afflicted. It was thought to be a hereditary disease, a curse or punishment from the gods. During the Middle Ages, those with leprosy were forced to wear special clothing and ring bells to warn others as they walked by. A cumulative total of the number of people who, over the millennia, have suffered its chronic course of incurable disfigurement, physical disabilities, or psychological trauma can never be estimated. There are many countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America with a significant number of leprosy cases, and 1 to 2 million people worldwide are visibly and irreversibly disabled due to past and present leprosy. 1 to 2 million people. And what's a significant number? The World Health Organization keeps numbers like that. It turns out, this is good news, that the number of people being afflicted by leprosy every year is going down. The bad news is that number is still high. In 2010, they reported 228,000 new cases of leprosy. That was down from about 245,000 the year before, and over 400,000 in 2004. Now, thanks to medical treatment, not all of those have become as devastating as it once was. But still, we're talking about leprosy, an ancient scourge, and one that remains. Things can be said about other ancient diseases like the flu or tuberculosis. Sure, some things go away. But if you take the broad picture, the broad look, disease, sickness, illness, infirmities, no, they'll be with us. Now, the good news is that Jesus is going to appear again. And when he does that, he will do away with sickness. He will do away with disease. He will do away with infirmity, with blindness, with deafness. He will do away with death. He will do it for all who call on him. He will do it for you. He will do it. So may the Lord come and appear, and come quickly and appear to us. Amen.